Scum of course, to dazzle the brain. And salt and play the loins. Get ready to laugh, get ready to drive. Strap on your seatbelt for 9:35. We're the drivers, you're the passengers. To clock the shop with John Hassinger. Sore from work, you better ice it. Get ready, kiddies. It's time to slice it.
Ooh.
We have a great show, so count all the coins to dazzle the brain and saute the loins. Get ready to laugh, get ready to jive. Buckle up, bitch. It's Nerd 35. We'll take the car out of park, and you're the passenger. With Clark the Shark and John Hassinger. Too hot in the city, you better ice it. Buckle up, kiddies. It's time to slice it.
Two people doing this podcast invented it.
Tweet us at the podcast on Underscore Podcast.
Come on, Luca!
Last for this! Charlie Wilson's boner.
Clip, we're,
flap, flap, flap.
We're still dealing with that, that war, aren't we? Like, isn't ISIS pretty much, like, armed? Weren't they armed during that war?
Yeah, I think
so. Get straight history hour on us.
Right, straight history hour. Like how in Rambo 3, he's actually helping the Taliban. Like, if you look at history, the Mujahideen or whatever they were called in Rambo 3, they were, like, they eventually became the Taliban. So Rambo was actually helping, like, 9/11.
I think it was because it was, I think because it was so jarring when I finally, like, was okay with the fact that Indiana Jones and Han Solo was the same person. I couldn't handle Rocky being anybody else. And I don't think, I'm almost 99% sure I've never seen 1 second of any Rambo film ever made.
Blah. I need a contractor. I need a Benjamin Moore paint.
I don't know what it was.
No, I get it. Like, I get it.
It was almost Rocky. Like there's Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Rocky playing. I don't know. It was like, for some reason, it missed me. I never gave it a chance. Not that I'm against it. I love Stallone.
Yeah.
Have you been watching his new show?
I was just going to ask you that. They did Sly. It's like, well, they did Arnold and then they did Sly. I was going to say, though, real quick, Rambo, I get exactly what you're saying, because it's like the first movie, First Blood, is like a good movie. Like, it's a good film. And then it turned into like Cobra, and it doesn't like relate to the other ones. And they're like all out there in different ways. It doesn't have like,
They're not connected like Rocky?
No. I mean, they're connected like it's him, but it's like a completely different movie. Where Rocky, you're like, you're watching Rocky. No matter which one you're watching, it's Rocky. Where the first movie, First Blood, Stallone is this broken down Vietnam vet, and you like makes you want to cry, like you feel sorry for him because of how tormented he is. And then in the third one, he's like oiled up and he's just like, let's rock. And you're like, oh, I thought you were like upset. So, yeah, I think I've only seen the first Rambo and the second, and actually, I've seen the one they just did a few years ago, but yeah, I'm
I was gonna say, I wanted to see the new one. The new one, the trailer made me go, maybe I should watch these, but I tell you what, I am gonna watch the Conjuring universe. I had no clue that there's like 7 or 8 movies in that world.
Yeah.
Because The Nun 2, apparently, or no, The Nun was like before The Conjuring and before Annabelle. Yeah, it was Sister Linda Jean. Who, by the way, Sister Linda Jean, she was a nun at our grade school who, if hanging was legal in the early 90s, she would have had Clark and I out there by our necks at high noon.
By our Buster Browns.
She hated us because she hated herself. And, you know, we don't have years to analyze that.
To unravel this, that damage.
But a picture of her popped up on Facebook from from like 81.
What did Linda Jean look like in 81? Did she have period clothing? Like big hot shoulders, but still the habit?
Kind of hot.
No. There's no way.
If anyone would like an opportunity to make fun of this nun, it's me, because I hated her guts. I mean, this one.
Oh, she hated us.
Pulled my hair, like grabbed me by the head of my hair, which I had a crew cut, so I don't even know how she got a handful of hair, and threw me to the corner of the room because I was talking when I wasn't supposed to. Like, you look at the kids today that are just like, you know, bringing army weapons into school and shooting the kids. Like, I was talking.
Right. Yeah, I remember your dad came into school about that, and rightfully so. It's like,
got ugly.
You can't hit kids. Sorry. Right. You know,
if
it's weird.
If you can hit my kid, I can hit you.
I can hit you.
You don't want that to happen.
No. By the way, good to see you, brother. I wanted to tell you.
You too. I've been itching.
I've been itching. But that whole thing about Linda Jean, not to get into a whole thing about it, but looking back, because I was thinking about this the other day, even for the 90s, obviously the 90s were different than today with what you can do. She couldn't have really
way
done...
way different than the 70s.
Way different from the 70s. And she was kind of acting like she was in the 70s. I mean, like, looking back, she really could have gotten to a lot of trouble. And to the listeners, I'm not talking about anything sexual or anything like that, but just mean, like assaulting almost.
Yeah, like as a 42-year-old man, this picture posted up on Facebook. And I was like, the bigger person would not say anything, would not comment. But I'm, she does not deserve the bigger John, because she did not nurture a bigger person, John Hassinger. She nurtured stay 5-year-old John Hassinger by just like making me feel like I could never do anything good. Oh, and so I commented, it's a shame she was such a pretty lady.
Yeah. good for you.
Kind of vague. could be taken many different ways, but definitely I hold no forgiveness. Well, maybe forgiveness. Maybe forgiveness, but I don't I don't forget, and like I deserve an apology, or you're just going to get the same sixth grader that you got in my prime.
Right. Well, how did this surface? Was it like, did she like pass away or something, or was it just somebody found it?
Do you ever have a friend who will group you and maybe somebody else who's usually like, you know, a funny friend, which I'm sure all your friends are, but you know, like, and here's a topic, tell me some jokes, but they don't say it in that way. They're kind of just like, lot to analyze here. It's basically like John
put on my glasses.
Smith texts a screenshot of the Facebook, St. Jude Facebook page, our elementary school Facebook page. And says, like, says, lot to analyze on the Facebook alumni page. And it was a posting for someone looking for, like, employees. Like, I was like, yeah, it turned into Craigslist. That's great. and there was a comment, and I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore. So I was like, Smith, what was the first comment? And he was like, I don't know, probably something about bad grammar. I'm like, you didn't even look. You just screenshot that shit to me and Rye.
It could have been anything.
And we're like, make me laugh, boys.
Right. Do something with this.
Like, yeah, because I'm not busy. And I did. I sat there for 5 minutes and was like, what do I? And I wrote a
like
few
a
different things.
On a show. It's like, what do I do with this?
I wrote like 4 different drafts, and then I landed on it's Craigslist now, which I'm pretty happy with.
Right.
I was like, it's the one ads. You can't even spell correctly in your job.
What is this? Right.
It was like jobs. Who needs jobs? Or who needs a jobs?
Who needs a jobs? I got to see this Linda Jean picture. And this. So what was it? Did it just surface up that he was like scurrying through the archives?
So he's probably, since he has Facebook on his phone, he's probably still on it more often, way more often than me. And I think that St. Jude alumni thing, you know, I mean, it's just part of that bubble where you stay there. It's just like, another thing, another serotonin.
Right.
Tickle, right. Nostalgia. Fondle.
Another lexicon limerick for you to foil your mind around.
Construct.
Some construct.
All these words that everybody's just throwing around.
I know.
So, yeah, so he sent me that, and I was just like, so I'm at work, and on my desktop, I have Facebook, because, you know, I sometimes talk to nurses, and there's like a shitload of travel nurse Facebook pages. So I'm like, let me look at this Facebook, stupid St. Jude Facebook page. My God, is there anything dorkier, especially the people that are really involved and active on it?
I know what you're saying. I don't know if I'm part of that group or if it's a page, but there is one group, and it's like St. Jude alum that I got invited to, like, 10 years ago by like Kate McGrory or something. Fine. And there are those people that's just like, don't forget the 23rd anniversary of Maroon and Gold Day is coming up. Let's post your pictures of you doing yellow. So I urinated.
There's some. So I stood next to my, I stood next to a cardboard cutout of Bobby Lee. And posted it on there. There's one guy on there, dude, where you're like, you're on this specific page so much that it's so obvious your life is not moving forward. Like, it's this is like tangible evidence that your life has stopped moving forward and it's now regressing because you're going all the way back to grade school.
Right. You're hanging on to that. Those like lawyers that weren't even that great.
You weren't even like the same, but you were nothing. You were just mush, a mush brain. Maybe not me, you and I.
Well, but
some people develop differently, quicker, in different ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we were ahead of our times, for sure. But there are some people that are still, I don't know. It's so weird. I don't buy into, you know, graduation, high school anniversaries, and reunions, and all that stuff. Like, the people,
you know,
that I wanted to be in touch with, I am. And I'm happy with that. I don't need to, like, hey, what are you doing now, you know?
I know. It's like, if I care, it's like curiosity. You know, I used to be way more curious.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a life of like,
oh.
You know, it's a life of this. Oh, that's how you do it.
Right. Oh,
nothing's really that impressive. Like, nothing's really like, oh, I'll be fascinated about that the rest of my life. It's basically this and nothing else. Movies, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I would abuse it. If I had to go to like some St. Jude reunion, I would come as like an astronaut and be like, I just got back from Saturn. I'm doing space things now. And they're like, Saturn? We sending people there? I'm like, yeah. I would just watch Ad Astra and be like, yep, I'm doing space things now with my life. That's what I do. Did I see it? I did. Kind of a snooze.
That's what I heard.
Cool effects. I really like the story. I like the movie. I kind of wanted more.
I saw Asteroid City.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. How is it?
You know, if his movies are all like this, and apparently I have such a... This is
Wes Anderson, right?
Told this on my channel, but yeah, Wes Anderson. Yeah. A whole bunch of movies that I know, but I've never watched. Royal Tenenbaums, Rushmore. I think I've seen Rushmore. But so long ago, right? It's pretty old.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Oh, no, that's Dutch.
I've seen Tannenbaums. I don't think I've seen Rushmore. I've seen Bottle Rocket.
I haven't seen that.
I get them all mixed. Amazing.
Moonrise Kingdom. Yeah. Then there's one, The Life Aquatic with somebody.
Dr. Zizou?
Yeah.
Steve Zizou or something?
Simu Liu, George Takei. And then there's like another one. Oh, French Dispatch.
Oh.
I watched like the first 40 minutes of that and I was like, this director's crazy, man. Like, whoa, this is amazing. And bring Mick Ultra. That's the text I'm getting right now. Can we bring Mick Ultra tomorrow?
Mick Ultra, yes.
Like, why do you have to ask me?
Just do it.
Heather, you're of age.
Right. Make a decision. Sorry. Make an executive choice. You know, you can bring Michelob. Not Mick Ultra or Honey Brown.
Mitchell
or Yingling. The French Dispatch I confuse with, what's this other one? Grand Budapest Hotel. There's always like these glorious titles. I'm like, they're awesome titles. Really, I just don't remember them. Yeah.
Anyway, Asteroid City, it is a present of a film wrapped in a perfect little bow with an insane cast who all just, you can tell, are like, oh, we get to do something weird for a change instead of like, you know, be a superhero with a green screen.
Yeah. It's like, hey, there might be Oscar buzz. It's like when Emilio Estevez did Bobby, which like didn't really do well, but it had like every famous person ever in it, or like
Mars Attacks.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, like Jack Nicholson. They like throw them all in there, and it's like awesome when it works out because you're like, oh, this is so cool. There's like so much going on.
Yes, and there's, you know what my one of my favorite things is? There is like character development for like one character, but everyone else, you're just like stopping by in a thing that's already been going and it's already happening, and something crazy happens when you stop by. But then everything just goes back to normal.
Like they kind of just
like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, because they have like a day to get their scenes in, and they're like, just come in, we'll throw you in this part of the story and keep going. But you're in the movie. Kind of thing.
And it's a simple story, and it's really neat, and it's one of my favorite things. You know, the I don't even know if there's a term for it, but it's like where the set never changed. You know, like you're in the same. It's like Lost. Like the island is you're on the island
okay.
all the time. You never leave the island.
Yeah, like you're always there.
The main story. Yeah, like I like it when their characters are like trapped in a place.
It is cool when they do that, because then it depends more on like the acting and where they're going with it versus like
usually the dialogue. And yeah, the dialogue in this is just so crisp, and obviously like
really?
30% of it you're like, damn it, I missed that, because there's it's a very Aaron Sorkin, you know, it's like you gotta
I had the worst
like seating experience during this movie, because a couple came in like 22 minutes into the movie.
Ugh.
And then, dude, in an empty theater, in an empty theater set two seats away from me in the same row. Whoa.
Of course. It's like when you go into a urinal and there's 8 empty ones. You go to the last one and the guy comes in and goes right next to you. And you're like, here I am. Do you want to look?
Pitches.
Dude, what is up with that? I have this conversation with my wife like once a month. It's like there are this many. It happens in like church and stuff. There's so many open seats. You're sitting right here. Like, what's the deal? Do people need to be near somebody? Like, I don't get it.
I'm like, anyway, is there something wrong with me? Or I'm like, there's so much space. And dude, I was like audibly letting them know. I was like, you're fucking, you weirdo.
Did you do like the look, the stink?
I was like, because then I'm like, am I going to be able to like, get all my belongings, put them in my pocket, get my popcorn, get my soda, put my two shoes back on, stand up
and walk
away into another row away from them, and then like deal with that funk in the air the rest
right.
of the time. You know, like
right. Yeah, what do you do? I would just tough it out at that point.
Luckily there's recliners, so I was like all the way back so I couldn't see them, but still like two and dude. The wife is on the phone the entire movie. Like we're on the couch, at home, and I'm not there with them.
Right, right. Oh, I know that feeling. And the phone, and it's like that's like, worse.
Why did you bring
than
your
talking.
Wife? Why did you bring her? You loser. Go by yourself.
Right. That's worse than talking, I think, because the glare is so bright. At least if you're talking, you own that you're an asshole. But the glare is like the passive aggressive. Like now I'm visually distracted. You know, like this is.
My favorite thing about a movie is, and I got to tell you about my experience with Flash in a minute. It's like as immersive as you can get, save virtual reality goggles. You know what I mean? Like it's dark as F and the screen's gigantic and the sound is over the top. And then there's this, and I'm ADD and it's very visual, and this little shiny thing is in the corner. I'm missing. Yeah. Like I said, you miss 30% of the dialogue. It's the worst.
And it only takes 1 second, because then you're derailed and you're like, now that's all I can focus on.
Can't
now,
get back on.
Now I hate you.
No, I'm a train on a track with one set of wheels off the track, and it's just on the ground. Wait, I'm barely like still on, but
now we're running people over.
Despite all of that. And dude, despite the freaking, they like break the fourth wall, and then again, like there's moments where I was like, "What reality are we in?" Because Bryan Cranston like is the narrator, but is like talking to an audience, but then is like talking to us, but then starts talking to the actors that are like
he's Zach Morrising it.
Yes, but it was so...
Where you're like, what universe are we in? What reality is this?
But all of it, I didn't care. I enjoyed it. And I was like, God, Wes Anderson, no wonder. He makes movies and goes, I don't care if anyone sees this. You know, I'm just making
yeah,
it.
To, yeah, that's
it. I just
point.
Love to do it. Doesn't matter because I know it's not for a mass audience and who gives a shit.
And the payoff is big.
It's so neat.
You know who does that a little bit? He's not known for doing this, but he did it in The Irishman with Scorsese. They didn't so much break the fourth wall, but during the narration, they would talk about, the characters would talk about themselves as they're about to get killed. Like, and then when I walked into the room, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen next, but when you mess with whoever, you're going to get whacked. And you're like, oh, he's talking about his own death. Like
it was almost like cool. what Spacey would do in House of Cards, but he would like look at the camera
and
be like, I'm about to kill this man. He doesn't even know what's coming. And then I'm going to grab his testicles when he's 13 at a party.
It's going to be slower than some molasses down here in the old Savannah sunshine when I grab his testes.
It's such a shame these people don't get like therapy and work through the things that cause them to do these bad things before they become famous.
I know. They either like hide it or just keep doing it. It's like, just make yourself better. Because you're so much better, you know.
It's
like we need
you.
We want to have
you're like masking trauma with all this amazing art, but you're not dealing with that trauma. That's you're hurting other people.
Right. Yeah. It's eventually going to catch up, especially now, with Me Too and everything else. It's like this will see the light of day at some point. You need to like.
It's like burying
nothing
something
sacred anymore.
Or burying something on the beach, it will. A road
and like a man pooping himself on a Florida cam. Just it doesn't make any sense, but your Instagrams are fantastic. We got to talk about The Flash. I want to talk about The Flash.
I couldn't dig into whether that like caught anyone's eye or not. I couldn't like see the stats on that video because I was like, this is pretty amazing. It's literally 8 a.m. and this dude's got a great shit just pouring down his leg through his black pants. That's a lot of diarrhea.
And you can't stop watching. Jen and I were driving home from The Flash and we see a guy. He didn't have anything coming out, but it was on him. And he was a homeless guy and we're pulling down this road and he look over and this guy goes into the bushes and he bends down and the pants come down with him and he's reaching for something and we're both like, oh, and you can see like the ass like being spread and we're like, oh, and it's so sad because 10 feet away there's a couple walking their dog and I'm like, you're about to have one hell of a surprise in 5 feet, just wait. But you
like
can't
your
stop
dogs?
Yeah, it's like a corpse. You're like a car crash. You don't want to look, but you're looking for it.
It's funny now that I have kids, I'm so much better at, I mean, I've always been really good at not staring, but still seeing everything. Watching my kids like suck at it. I'm like, oh, this is like an art. You have to learn how to stare without looking.
It's like you have to learn. Yeah. It doesn't just come naturally. You got to practice and then you can
I've
do
seen
it
with, that a million times.
Yeah. You can take it up a few notches. I just think it is an art. Yeah.
So
the theater,
I think I told this on the John and Agnew show, so sorry, but it's been a while and
yeah, great. I went and saw
Flash. It's so funny. Like discovering the like main thing about Agnew and I, that's like good. I'm like figuring it out now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys have always been... I always love listening to the show.
Me too. But it's like...
You're figuring out like a deeper sense of like...
I'm figuring out two huge differences about something that like literally was like the glue of our relationship. How like we experience movies so differently. And it's just because of who we are as people. Like he's this engineer. I'm this like free spirit. Art,
you're the artiste.
Fartsy, yeah. And he's like this by the book. So he's always looking at what to fix. And I'm just like, I'm glad we have it. It's amazing it exists.
Yeah.
And that was my...
That's a good thing.
that was my outlook going into The Flash. I was like, this is just unbelievable that they made a movie with Michael Keaton and, yeah, and Ezra Miller, who I enjoy as The Flash, who I thought was probably going to be facing 20 years to life.
I know.
Any second, and Warner Dodge Brothers is going to axe the movie with the axe of Zaslav.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's so many variables with him that I still think about, but I'll let you, what's going on with the John and Agnes show?
No, so I was just saying, like, I was really excited about Flash, and Agnew was like, it was horrible. I hated it. There were so many moments that they just didn't continue that they should have, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I bought tickets for the Thursday early screening here down in here in Florida and at the Paragon, my favorite movie theater, where they have a room where a theater where it's like 25 seats and there's like a grouping of the seats in the middle that are like two seater, like love seat kind of little coves that you would get for like a married couple and you kind of like are together instead of just, you know.
Yeah, like it's
so I plucked down the extra and I bought one of those, assuming that no one's going to buy an empty one because who wants to sit in a little love seat with a stranger?
Right.
And as soon as I walk into the theater, you know,
he walks in.
The guy, I think he was in 30 Rock, and he always has a different hat. I think his name is Jonah. That's who is sitting there. I mean, not in real life, but a man who resembled his girth and height.
Oh, really? Of all people, too. Like,
and dude, I'm checking the seats. What do you do? On Fandango, on the ride to the theater, and I'm like, no one bought it yet. No one bought it. Waiting in line for popcorn. All of a sudden, it's like sold out. I was like, no. So I walk in and I see that he's there, and I just keep walking and I loop around.
No eye contact.
I made the eye contact, but he didn't see it. Loop around to the front not the front row, but the next one, where I didn't have to do this, but I had to do this.
Oh, I got you. It's not full neck strain, but it's up there.
IMAX.
Right, yeah.
And do you remember the beginning of the movie where he's running, and he's running, and he's running over the water, and he's just going so fast, and he's running for such a long time?
Oh, yeah, it's so cool.
Dude, it was, I felt like I was in Space Mountain. I was so close and he's flying and I'm like,
You get vertigo.
Dude, I'm laughing out loud. I was like, oh my God.
And the segue into that too, where you're like, you know, something's going to happen because they're not going to open it with him like ordering peanut butter and jelly or whatever. Right. And then it happens and you're like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen like that.
The Affleck stuff was awesome. The Wonder Woman stuff was so funny. I died at all the jokes there. He's like, I should just give all my money to stop poverty. I shouldn't fight people. What am I doing? My ego's too big to thank anyone for saving me. It was unbelievable. I loved everything Keaton did.
Yeah.
And I loved how, like, they die. And he goes back and he dies again. And Supergirl and him keep dying. I was like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. And Agnew was like, you didn't expect that to happen. That's the time travel. And I was like, that's why I didn't expect it to happen. I didn't think they would do the first thing that's been done with time travel. You keep trying to change what's inevitable.
Right. I thought the same thing. I was like, no, they're not going to do the time, like the movie, the time machine where he has to keep. His wife keeps dying because that's how we created the machine. I was like, they're not going to do that. But they did. So I'm with you on that. That I didn't expect it either. I was like, oh, it's different, you know, because he's reversing time. It's not like he's traveling. He's like creating that like linear trip. So it's like anything's possible if you're going by that logic, I thought.
I don't want to ramble. I don't want to hog because I could go on. It's literally the only movie that I didn't do an out of theater reaction because I was so.
Yeah.
They put so much in that movie, and I thought did well. Now remember, mm-hmm. I'm two rows from an IMAX screen.
Yeah.
So when I was seeing the special effects, every time it looked a little weird, I wasn't like they're not. I wasn't like they're trying to do something and failing. I was like, I think they're trying to just make it look this way. Because it didn't look, there was no moment where I was like,
yeah.
It was all just right. Kind of like it all was.
Right. Like, and when you're that close and it's that much in your face, I mean, you can't
really tell.
Take it apart frame by frame.
And obviously the baby's faces are fake. I wanted them to be fake. I didn't want them to have been using real baby, you know, like this.
Oh, God, no. Could you imagine?
I was like, okay.
No, my wife said the same thing. She's like, thank God they look like dolls. You know, like that would be too much to have. Like real babies falling from the hospital. Like, no, you can't do that. They
of course, and of course the internet just fit. Did they just took the bait like blind mules? Like, of course Ezra Miller on set was like, let's put one in the microwave and people are going to lose their minds, forgetting that it's not plugged in and this is all fake and they're going to get upset. And they did.
Everybody was like,
I put a baby in a microwave. I was like, well, it wasn't plugged in and
right.
He was saving the baby. And I was like, we're really reaching on this one. And it was so stupid.
That is stupid. I stopped reading about the Flash on the internet because it's all like, it's all nonsense now.
It's
you
all
know,
hearsay.
It's, yeah. But when they put the baby in the microwave, it didn't occur to me that somebody would make a big deal about that, but I'm not surprised that they did. Cause it's unplugged. It's like a way to like pinpoint it and do it. Obviously there's an inside joke there. You're putting a baby in a microwave on screen because you can get away with that. Like, that's kind of funny that you can get away with that in a movie. But right. I'm not surprised that people, like, of course, they're upset about it. And I do like, you can tell, like, when, do you remember a few months ago after Ezra got back, you know, he was acknowledging that he was, like, out of control or whatever. And they went back and did some reshoots. You could see what those reshoots were because he was making fun of himself. He's like, yeah, the Justice League, we're not very good at mental health and taking care of each other yet. You know, like there was a lot of that going on, and you could tell because he looked a little bit older than some of the other stuff. So,
dude,
I thought they had a good sense of humor.
I think the Gal Gadot, Ben Affleck stuff was shot like way more recently. And that's when he says, he goes, I know what sex is, but I don't want to have it. Is that this or something? Or whatever he said. I was like, that was Ezra Miller ad-libbing, and he was just there with that crew, and I bet you they kind of ad-libbed most of that. Like,
yeah, because they're like on set, and they're like, yo, all the shit's happened in the last 8 months. Like, let's run with it. I feel like...
Breaking news from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. A lot of news breaking today about Deadpool 3. Ryan Reynolds posted like one picture from the set that looks like a paparazzi took it, but it's just like his new suit. It's just like a little brighter red. Jennifer Garner will be reprising her role as Elektra from the movie, I believe, Daredevil, where Ben Affleck starred. And then I think she had her own movie too, where she looks like the hottest she ever did. It was kind of like Alias, or maybe why they did the show Alias. She was Elektra, and Elektra is an interesting character because in the comics, she dies, and then 2 seconds after she dies, she turns into a Skrull, and it's when the Secret Invasion storyline starts, where these aliens have been posing as humans for decades.
Oh, cool.
That's the show that's on Disney Plus with Samuel L. Jackson and Mendelsohn.
Yeah, Jennifer Garner sets Elektra Return.
Yes.
I remember her in... Yeah, and the original. I didn't see her own. She had her own movie. I didn't see that one, but I did see Daredevil, and I do like her outfit.
I didn't see it. Elektra, and I don't even think I've seen Daredevil. But a lot of people are like, it's good, and I always forget Favreau's in it. Like Favreau's like a co-star. Like he's his lawyer friend, Foggy Nels.
Yeah, Foggy. He's cool. I like Daredevil. Ben Affleck, you know, he's like blind and stuff. And I think for the time it was what, like 2002, 2003. There's some cool effects they did where like it's his vision and you can see like rain, like certain like if rain's on something, you can like you can see like the depth of water. Like I thought they did a good job for 2003. I don't remember how well it was received, but like it was pretty
see,
cool.
See, dude, that's it.
Colin
that's
Farrell, what it, like it was cool.
Oh yeah, Bullseye. And wasn't Ving Rhames Kingpin?
Oh,
isn't that so funny? Nobody gave a shit that there was a black Kingpin. Nobody cared because it was Ving Rhames. Like, well, hell,
2002 was a weird. Early 2000s were a weird time for movies. I feel like
there was still some cool 90s, like we don't care stuff hanging around before it got overly like touchy.
Yeah. Like, you know, like if Unbreakable came out today, that would be like $1 billion movie. But at the time, it did like okay because it was off of The Sixth Sense.
Right. They weren't ready for it.
Yeah. Like they weren't ready for it. I feel like Daredevil kind of is in the same category. Like obviously they would do things differently, but.
Isn't it funny, dude? I think you and I are similar in that, like, I can appreciate what they're going for. Maybe, like, the outcome isn't, like, flawless, but it's, like, since I know how the sausage is made, I can kind of always be like, oh, man, that was a great idea. The execution is almost probably impossible to pull off anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's, like, I know what's going on. I understand how you made this, but like I value an effort. This is the best we're going to do. It's fun.
That's why at the end with the Flash, I was like, dude, it is such a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that Zack Snyder wasn't just like given 2 years bereavement to go and heal his, lick his, you know, go recover from his daughter.
Yeah.
And then let him come back and continue what he started because...
Yeah,
I feel like Flash would have made more sense. It would have been less bumpy for people if other movies from the Snyderverse would have like led to it.
Yeah, like, there was more of a roadmap to it versus an isolated uncertainty, kind of what they did.
Kind of like, hey, remember this old thing? It's like this was going to be a piece of it that's pretty crazy. Right. Pretty amazing, but like it would probably have affected so many other of the movies.
There's a lot of criticism about that.
When the universes were crashing at the end, I was like, all right, this is the only way you're going to squeeze this in. And no wonder it's so long, but again, I get what you're doing here with the Christopher Reeves and the God, Supergirl was so hot.
Oh, wasn't she? Totally. Man, I felt the same thing.
God, like,
even my wife thought so. She's like, oh, she's so hot. I was like, I know.
I remember that. It was a movie, I think. My brother and I loved it. And I remember, like, I think that was the first boner I ever got. I was, like, 6. And I was like, she's just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Skirt.
The skirt. Yeah. And, like, the form-fitting, like, S that, like, bubbles up a little bit. You're like, all right, I get it. I get it. Bonered. By the way, speaking of Zack Snyder.
Tiny, lonely old Jewish men drawing you in their office. I can picture it now.
I know, in the 50s. Like, here we go. Hank, Earl, what do you make of this?
Supermensch. Supermensch and Superjenta.
Supermensch and the Yenta's taking it home. Michael Shannon, I read he was hesitant to reprise the role of Zod because of the whole Zack Snyder thing. And then Snyder eventually, like, gave him his, like, go ahead, like, it's cool to do this. Is that accurate that he like wasn't going to do it until Snyder was like, it's fine. Like, just go ahead. Like, it's cool.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think I remember hearing him being like, I was really excited to like do Zod, but a different slight. And I didn't really. He's like, we didn't really like do any. We didn't really like do anything deeper. I was kind of like a stand in bad guy. You know,
yeah.
Even though there were like a couple antagonists in the movie. They kept like rotating.
They did keep switching around. I do like the pop culture references, like Ezra Miller, like the Flash, when they were bringing back Superman, he mentioned Pet Cemetery like 3 times. I'm like, that's just like a great Stephen King reference that, like, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even get that. I mean, sure, I'm sure like people our age do, but
Oh, that's
like
right.
That, yeah. Like, you know, it's like, oh, please don't make it like a Pet Sematary kind of thing. It's like Pet Sematary.
Oh, and it's you're like a reverse. Oh, it's like the reverse of what the MCU does with Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man references movies that he's like, there's this really old movie first, and it's like Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
And Ezra Miller will list like a deep cut Stephen King like horror. That's pretty good.
Right. It was pretty cool.
My crowd were dying. And I was too. Like I thought every part that meant to be funny was funny to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm obsessed with Sasha Calle, who's never acted in anything before,
yeah,
as Supergirl.
And she wanted to be Supergirl. Like, that was like one of her like heroes. It would be like you being cast as Batman, like growing up, like watching Batman Returns. Like, that's like one of the coolest stories, like Hollywood stories you'll ever hear.
And it's a totally, completely different take of the blonde Supergirl, you know, the boner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Supergirl. And it's like, why can't both? It's like with the Ariel mermaid. It's like, why just can't both? Why can't we just both? Everything's more than one. There's no one to one in anything.
Yeah. Oh, 100% with you. Yeah. There can be both. We can explore. We can do different things. And you know what? Sometimes when you do, it's a little cooler. And it's not like the norm.
I always think of, Becky. No. Becca? Becky? Yeah, no, that's Aunt Becky. I forget who the oldest daughter is in Roseanne.
Becky.
And she got Becky. Yes, Aunt Jackie. Becky, the actor, it was two different actors. But
yeah,
it was like the original one, then a new one. Then the original one came back.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh yeah, it's all pretend.
Right, it doesn't matter.
We're pretending.
And it works. And they even made fun of that in Roseanne. Remember the like, where the hell have you been? Like when they come back and
like, what?
I feel like I haven't been here in 2 years. And yeah, it works. And you can switch it up and it's fun. I'm going to ask you for The Flash, like when you said the audience, the crew you're with or the people in the audience, they got the jokes. The crowd.
Yeah, they were laughing.
They were laughing. Yeah, same with us. Like, I felt like people got it. You're like, no, that is funny. It's supposed to be funny. You get it. And even, like, the scene when Bruce Wayne, when Batman comes out, like, the first scene in the kitchen, the way he's jumping, like, it's supposed to be ridiculous that he's, like, they even shot it that way. Like, the freeze frame when he, like, falls, and then next thing you know, he's, like, making spaghetti, and it's, like, it was perfect because if you'd never, like, read anything about it or saw it, you would think, oh, Return of Batman, he's going to come in, like, 1992, blaze of glory, and you're, like, no, Michael Keaton's 70 years old. Like, that's how he's going to do it, and it was just funny.
Gotham. Yeah, I know. Everybody always forgets. I don't know why. It's like you just skim over the word comic book. The first word of comic book is comic. It's all...
Right. Oh, good point.
It's all silly. It's all just to pretend on the real world.
Right. It's not a graphic novel. It's comic book.
It's like, fun. It's really fun and like almost a miracle when you could like blur the lines between like real life and the comic book. But like for the most part, just... It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Right. It's, you're supposed to smile the majority of it.
Did you think that was funny though when he came out and he's like fighting in the kitchen?
Yeah, he was
like,
with the.
I thought that was maybe a little too funny. I think I was like laughing longer, but I'm like, he's in a robe, like you know his nuts are hanging out, and he's like jumping over things. He's like falling, and it's like this is so funny. It's like
I talked about this. I thought it was funny because, and I think it was like, it didn't look bad. Like the stunt guy.
Yeah,
made it look like okay, yeah, like this is how he would fight with like pots and pans,
right?
Because I bet he hasn't been Batman in forever because
he wasn't nailing it. Yeah, and also I feel like that was the better, greater payoff when he does go back to Batman and he's like, I'm Batman, and then you get all like, you know, goosebumpy. You're like, oh wow, he like just jumped back into it and it like clicked. It's like picking up a baseball glove. You're like
the fighting. The fighting with Keaton was better than anything that he's ever done. When he's in the thing, when he's flying around, even when he's holding up the cape a couple times blocking the bullets.
So cool, like, against the Russians.
Tim Burton just like didn't even want him to be a superhero. He just like was doing all the other stuff around Batman. Just
right, yeah. He did a few stunts and like a few punches, and it was all about like the character and like the gadgets and the lines. But in this one, it was like full fledged action with Michael.
Still like Tim Burton's both of them. Love them because I love the bad guy focus. But it was so cool seeing Keaton's Batman. Obviously, it's not him flipping around out there, but it was amazing.
So cool. And the Batcave, like seeing that from the old movies, like, it was like, it was like
you mentioned the kitchen. It was the same kitchen. One of my favorite scenes in any movie, when Alfred is like breaking Bruce's balls because he and Vicky are having dinner at this giant table and they can't talk to each other. And they even did a callback to a line that I still use when you're at a table and the person you're sitting with is too far away. I always say, "Can you pass the salt?" And Ezra Miller, Flash is like, remember when he's like, I'll pass. He's like, pass, like pass the salt.
Pass the salt?
I was in the second row going like this.
Yes. And they did enough fanfare too, where like Ezra Miller like embraced that, what you're feeling too. Like when he caught the bat star, whatever it is, and he's like, "Can I keep this?" You know, like you're thinking that too. Like you would say the same thing in that situation. Like, "Oh my gosh, it's Batman. Like, can I keep this? Can I have this? Is this a code? Are we done talking? Are. What does this you're, mean?
You are. You're him.
You're him." Did they take... let me ask you a question. So when Supergirl is in the Russian lair or whatever that is, Batman tapped into NASA to get the coordinates or whatever, and then he took the bat wing or whatever it is. Was she stuck in there because it was made of like kryptonite, or like why was she stuck in there? That's like was my question. Like why couldn't she just get out?
Because remember, they get their power from the yellow sun of the Earth. The red sun of Krypton, they're just humans.
Oh, okay. So that because she was entrenched, she's powerless.
That's why Superman in Justice League, the Snyder Cut, he puts on the black suit and flies out right in front of the sun and like goes like this just to get like an extra boost.
And
dick.
Because that makes sense. So when they get her.
Steppenwolf ass.
When they get her out, they show her like. Her outfit that's like removed. There's some boners poking around. And that's why when they get to the surface, she starts kicking ass and she's like just running in and slamming people. And
everything. That's why she's like up in the sky for like a little bit. She's kind of just like tearing it up.
Oh, it's so cool.
Try not to die.
Speaking of Tim Burton, too, they showed when they did the montage with George Reeves and everything, they showed Nicolas Cage, because he was going to be in that Batman.
You get a gold star. Gold star for that segue. The death of Superman Lives, what happened? The great documentary by John Schnepp. That's the title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going down the rabbit hole today. I haven't watched it, but I was looking at all the stills and stuff that. What happened? What was the... Was it the funding? Because I heard they spent like $20 million so far to like get that movie going. And like they dropped it,
you know. It's something? A real shame. It's a real shame because
kind of weird. He was top of his game in '98.
Yeah, they both were Cage and Burton. They were like both, like you know, getting all the awards or all the box office. But the more interesting story is the great John Schnepp, king of the Schweddies. He's like a Comic-Con icon. He's like just the greatest like nerd. Comic book fan guy. He passed away not too long ago. He made a documentary about like what happened with that movie. The title of the documentary is called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened. Because the movie was supposed to be called Superman Lives, the Nick Cage Tim Burton Superman Lives, because I think Superman like dies in it. And then they like, but dude, the guy writing it, because Tim Burton was directing it, Cage was starring in it. The guy writing it,
John Schnepp,
he didn't want a cape. He wanted like Superman to have guards at the Fortress of Solitude. And Kevin Smith is like, but it's called Fortress of Solitude, and why would
you right, it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be one person.
Need guards.
Right.
He doesn't need guards. And the guy was like, we want him to fight a polar bear. They're the smartest animal. And he's like, oh, yeah, but he would destroy a, you know, like,
yeah,
this guy didn't care.
I do remember about, hearing like, something the, about the polar bear.
The there staples of the Superman. Bear. You got to watch a documentary. So anyway, this guy makes a documentary, dude. It was like one of the first pirated things. And the guy, and he made nothing. He made no money on it. And it like kind of downward spiraled him. And then he got real sick and passed away early.
I'm just reading this. Yeah, he died just a few during years ago. 51 years old. Wow.
Kevin Smith is all over the documentary and he all his parts because, you know, he's written like some Daredevil comic books and he's in the comic book world. And he, at that time, he was pretty, you know, I think maybe like Dharma or maybe it was around that.
Yeah.
But he was...
I think so.
It was like, he's the guy that writes the story. He's the one that writes the script. But there was this head honcho at, I guess, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone else had them. He was telling Kevin Smith all the things that he wants, like, in the movie. And he was like, I want him to fight a giant spider. And he's like, well, what about Brainiac or Lex Luthor? Or like all? He's like, I don't care about those characters. He's like, I want him to fight some giant animal. That's why Nicolas Cage is shooting with his eyes. A spider.
That's right. That makes sense. That's such a good nod. I didn't know that until I read into it. But yeah, and I guess because at like 98, Cage was doing like three movies a year. It was like Con Air and The Rock and Face Off, and you know there was like Godzilla was coming out and Lost World
and then Family Man, a big monster,
and like that's Superman's big enough. You know, that's why I love. Superman Returns, like the 2006 one, is they didn't have to, they put the like old characters in there and like it's fun, you know, like
I know, I agree.
Yeah,
that's what like Ghostbusters too. I'm like, yeah, we. It's right. Like why James Gunn is like, it's not an origin story. He's already here. There's already other superheroes here. Like the world is already. It Superman was created in the 1930s. He's like, if someone's alive right now and doesn't know Superman. I don't know what to tell you.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's why they it's good Spider-Man stopped showing Uncle Ben's death or Batman. They're not showing like Bruce Wayne's parents dying anymore. It's like we've seen it like a lot. People know. Like audiences are smart.
Kevin Feige's like Spider-Man is the like top two most recognizable character in the planet Earth. We all know the spider bit him. We all know Uncle Ben died. We don't need to do that again. And they just like skipped it with Tom Holland and did it amazingly over three movies.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman was very short cameo in this movie. Was that because
she was in Shazam too? Also,
what's that?
She saves Shazam's life in Shazam too. As well, well at the end.
Was this because of a contractual thing? That no, she was in it so it, short? Or was it just like...
No, it was like...
The script.
It was like, can we put Wonder Woman in? Yeah, sure. You know, why not? Flash loves Wonder Woman. Remember in Justice, in the Snyder Cut, he's like...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think she'd go for a younger guy? And
I know.
Cyborg's like, they're all younger guys, Barry.
We just watched 15. That the other night. The wife has never seen him. And she's like all into him now since we saw The Flash because like she loved it. So we watched it again, and you're like, oh, so good. The Snyder Cut, you know? You're like, oh, it's just so much. There's so much good in that movie. You know, there's like so much good.
Dude, it is like a it's like a 15-inch sub. It's like you can eat that thing in four sections, and it could be a meal, and it's just so beautiful.
It's
like,
so good.
From like a, you know, I'm trying to like learn how to write a three arc story. Yeah. And I'm not even like halfway through the first act. And I'm like, this is like climbing a mountain. And I'm like, yeah. To make a 4-hour superhero movie. Like,
I don't know how you do it.
I'm just like, I don't know. It's just unbelievable that it even exists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's for like, that long, too. I mean, yeah. Just to like segment the acts of what goes where to make it too. Flow. It's art. That's why it's
Asteroid
a work of art.
City does that thing where it's like, it'll be like act one chapters, or it's like chapter one, or no, it was like act one chapters, Roman numeral one.
Oh, through, like they do that in there?
Three. Yeah, and it keeps
oh,
doing
that's
that.
Cool. Yeah, they yeah. like.
I was like, okay, cool. Here's the third act. Here we go.
It's cool. Yeah, especially when you look at like where in movies they do like an arc or like the twist or the climax, or whatever, and you're like, oh, that wasn't it. There's still something else. It's like a cool ride.
I know. You know? When you're like, when they fake you.
Yeah.
They fake you to the second pinch point. It's like another like wall you hit that you like the main character has to change.
Yeah.
It's like they get a little victory and you're like, yes. And then you're like, uh-oh, I know this one's going away. This one's right, not going to last at all.
It's right, yeah. Worse. This is like a little one. It's to keep it going, little momentum, but there's something else coming. Get ready. When I hope The Flash, I just thought it was so good. I thought it was such a good movie. I feel, I know it's not making the money they thought it would, but I hope they keep bringing back Ezra
there's
Miller.
There's so many factors contributing to why it's not doing good financially. And
it's because they didn't market it properly. I think,
and just because you can't really market it because it's a bridge to nowhere, you know, things at DC are going to change so much that all these characters aren't going to matter anymore.
Yeah, right. I know.
But you're right. There was a way to be like, this is your last chance to see this group together.
Yeah. I mean, if they market it differently, I feel like even if they change the name of the movie, which I don't think they should have done, it should have been called The Flash. It's the first standalone Flash. But people's perception, if they market it a little differently and put more emphasis on just earlier on, you know, there was like the Super Bowl ad, which was cool. But I mean, Ezra Miller's antics didn't help, but they weren't the reason. They're not the reason it's not doing well. I saw it because of his antics. I wasn't an Ezra Miller fan until I started reading about him every day. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this guy's like really interesting. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, now I'm on board. Now I'm going to go see The Flash. So I feel like if anything, it helped. I don't know. I just feel like the marketing, they didn't like do a good job.
They didn't sell it right.
They
could have sold it. It's another one of those Batman versus Superman. Like that movie should have made $1 billion.
Right.
In 2 days, you know, Thursday and Friday. It's Batman and Superman. Yeah. It is the most recognizable symbols on planet Earth.
Right.
Over the American flag, over Ronald McDonald. Vladimir Putin.
And wasn't that always the question before they made that movie? Like, since we were kids, it's like, who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman? It's like, well, Superman. It's like, yeah, well, what if Batman and Krypton? You know, like, that was always a question in our minds.
That's why it was so cool, because it was like, oh, he's the human that could, like, outsmart the, you know, unbeatable alien.
Who would do that? It would be Batman. So, yeah, that's a really, really great point in comparison in that. And I thought The Flash would have been a $1 billion movie. And the only thing I don't know as much about this stuff as you do, but I just feel like it's the marketing, because it's a great movie. It's just, even what you said, because it's everything's changing in the DCU, they're going to,
right.
There's going to be different players. Make it like the last chance and something, you know?
There are three fan groups out there that are like the most vicious, toxic, evil, but like loyal and like kind of unbeatable. Number one, He-Man. Number two,
He-Man.
Star Wars. Number three, the Snyderverse.
Yeah.
Maniacs.
Yeah,
they're
insane.
I mean, like, they tipped Oscar voting. Like, they got the Flash reversing time, which is a great scene. It's not even close to Cap catching the hammer.
Was it Snyderverse? No, it was Star Wars. Which group changed YouTube's policy on like liking and disliking? It was Star Wars, right?
It's Star Wars.
Remember that? They were like, it got so many dislikes from Disney that Disney's like pulled their dick out and was like, we're not letting this happen again. So YouTube changed it where if you dislike a video, they'll just say, we'll share your feedback with the creator. They don't show the amount of dislikes. That changed like overnight.
Disney was like, wow. We don't look bad. We don't have trash cans in our parks. So we don't have trash cans in anywhere.
By the way, that's a whole different story and it's stupid, but like I disagree with that. Don't change it because people just liked it a lot. But I get it.
The dislike button is promoting negativity. I was like, get rid of it altogether. Like, what are you doing?
Get rid of it altogether.
I was like, what a stupid move. I was like, the no like is the dislike.
Right.
Just let it be that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no need for the dislike. It promotes hatred. It's why like Facebook doesn't have one.
Get rid of it altogether. Active negativity. It's like, good call there.
Right. Yeah.
YouTube.
Thanks, YouTube. I'm gonna ask you, Lord Hassinger, are you gonna cover the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer on the Jonathan Hassinger show? At the Jonathan Hassinger show, folks. Maybe you already did.
I'm on the fence. I think.
Are you?
Not on the fence.
It means it's gonna suck.
They're playing them really young.
Yeah.
Oh, like they're really like, young.
Really like, teenagers.
Yeah. I'm like, oh God. They're like, yeah, they're like 12.
And even Donatello's in the one scene. He's just like, hey, what are we gonna do about that, guys, man? And you're like, come on, man. You're supposed to be the scientist. Like, you're supposed to say something about like binary compulsions. Like,
you're way too intelligent to say, man.
Yeah. So you're on the fence about it.
But I am. It looks like the way that they're doing Splinter, he looks kind of Yoda-ish, like way funnier and like talkative.
I don't know, though.
Yeah, it looks too kiddish for me.
It looks a little kiddish. I know the movies were shot before, but maybe at the same time, did they take cues out of the Spider-Verse and the way they made the film? Because you can see how you can see how there's cues, right?
Dude, did you see Spider-Verse or Guardians?
Which one?
Did you see Spider-Verse?
I saw Guardians with my friend Tim. I did not see Spider-Verse.
What did you think of Guardians? Have you seen the other ones, right?
These are blue light to protect my eyes.
You look good. Dude, I have them too right here.
Do you? I thought it was great. I didn't see Spider-Verse.
Mine has scotch tape because a bully punched me at recess.
A bully punched me.
I had to tape it like a nerd. I got to get a new pair.
I just have so many questions because... not about turtles, but about the process. You're talking about Guardians, and then I didn't see Spider-Verse, but I understand how it was made. Is this the new way of making films? Like CGI? Or are they... Because they look very similar, right?
What?
The Ninja Turtles movie? And Spider-Verse, the way they're shot or the way they're made.
Maybe there is some like, what is it called? Like they did it with the Star Wars Clone Wars. Like they animate over them.
Right. People animate and then they almost cut every, like instead of using 32 frames per second, it looks more like a page flipping, like a comic book. Is that like a new medium or am I just.
I don't know. I don't know if Turtles is doing that in the same way that, because I haven't really looked at anything. I saw like a commercial and that's how I heard their voices. And I was like, whoa, they sound like kids, little kids, not like rough New York kids. So that's kind of, I was like, yeah, they're going for a younger demo, which is fine. That's what it's for.
Is that what it is? Because I tell you, I wasn't blown away by it. I'm a big Ninja Turtles fan, you know, even from a kid. And I've pretty much seen everything they've done. And I just like, I don't know. I wasn't like excited about it. I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to see this. It was, I think what you said, it was, it's like they're too young or something. I don't know.
You told me one about like Turtles into the Multiverse where they like bump into other animated versions of the Turtles, including like the black and white comics where they're all like, you know, rated R versions of the characters. Yeah. They're not like split so differently.
Really?
Yeah. And even like the cartoon and I don't know. He says it was like a good idea, but it wasn't great. But again, he's the engineer.
He's the engineer.
He's not just like, cool, we have this. He's just like, problem there, problem there. Yeah, a lot of red. Like,
this is why this wouldn't work. He's got the the engineer mind.
But dude, I cried about six times during Guardians of the Galaxy. It was without a doubt the most emotion-filled movie I've ever experienced, I've ever seen in my entire life. Heather was with me. She was like on, but like she was enjoying it as much as I was. So that I thought it was so funny. I was so proud of James Gunn. There were so many emotions tied to that movie. I was just like blown away.
It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster.
The visual performance or the visual achievement of Across the Spider-Verse is like nothing I've ever seen. And I cannot wait to see that movie again.
Yeah, you've said that. You were really liked it. A note.
Watching it on mute. You can watch it on mute. What they do with the watercolors with Gwen and her dad, I was like, God.
It's just such a ride, right?
I want to blow these artists.
Right. They deserve it. I need it. I feel like...
I need it.
A movie like... I need it in my life. A movie like that was going to set the bar. You know, like, they're going to make similar films like that in the future. You're going to have to take cues from that. That's kind of like a template now because I haven't seen it, but I'm just saying of how good it was, you know.
There's characters from different universes who are not only animated differently, they, like you said, they move like Spider-Punk, who I thought was going to be just, I was like, oh my God.
Is he the Indian guy, gentleman?
No, Spider-Man? No. The Indian one and Spider-Punk, they stole the show for me, other than Gwen. The Indian guy is awesome. He's from Mumbatan.
Oh.
Mumbai.
Which is like Mumbai, Manhattan. Yeah, okay.
He's voiced by Dopinder, the cab driver from Deadpool.
Right.
He's hilarious. Okay. Every line he says is funny. He's like, you don't have chai tea. Chai tea is tea. You just say chai. It's like saying TT.
It's and true, actually.
Earlier, Miles is like, it's ATM, but it's ATM machine. So why do we say AT machine?
That's true.
For that joke in there. When he's fighting the spot, dude, it's happening so fast that you're like, I caught like 5 out of 15 moves. Because the spot...
quick in your face.
He can just portal, and he's webbing, and he's portaling, and he's throwing portals, and he's throwing spots, and the spot goes into him. It's fucking unbelievable. And like I said, I can't wait to watch it. When I went and saw Asteroid,
you like want to see it again afterwards, right away.
Snuck in and went and saw.
Oh my gosh,
Spider-Verse. But again, I wanted to talk. I wanted to ask you about Flash. Did you have a problem with all the dead people? Or the alive people that were CGI'd. Like, did you have a problem with all the characters being, deep-faked?
No. What do you mean deep-faked when he kept going back in time?
Well, when he was, when the universes were crashing and Christopher Reeves and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, not at all. I thought it was cool. I thought that was such a cool sequence.
The people that are like, you should get... permission from their families, and I'm like,
oh, you mean literally dead people, like the actors, like Christopher Reeves and George Reeves? Oh, like, no, what a nice tribute. Of course, everyone should want to see them on screen. You know what I mean? When are you going to see Christopher Reeves as Superman on the screen again in a new movie? Never. Like, of course. I know I didn't have a problem at all. Are people bitching about that? Is that a thing?
I don't know. First of all,
you don't need permission from the families if they own the rights to the movie. So,
and you know what else, dude?
You can do whatever you want.
It's like, I don't know if people are bitching or people are worried that people are going to bitch, so they're taking their side before there's even a side to take.
That's what it is, yeah. It's the virtue signaling.
It's probably in bad taste. The majority of the people hate the movie anyway. Oh, it's probably in bad taste, and they should really get their... I'm like, what else are they fucking doing? It's like when people used to talk shit on Howard for the Whack Pack. I'm like... What are these retards doing otherwise? Do you think they're going to be on a radio show somewhere else?
Right. It's so true. And also, a lot of these people probably haven't seen the movie, and they just like read it and like, this was disrespectful or something like that. By the way, that was a really smart sequence, that third act. I mean, those were some really deep cuts in there with George Reeves. The only reason I even know who George Reeves is because I watched Hollywoodland with Ben Affleck, and he played him and Adrian Brody are in that, and it's like a cool how did George Reeves die kind of thing. And they showed
the original.
Yeah, he shot himself. But the fact that they showed him and then Christopher Reeves and Adam West, you're like, oh, this is such a nice tribute. You know, like, it's cool.
I thought
it was a great sequence.
If anyone's mad about this, it was almost like the people, Jack Kirby's family, they're bitching about Stan Lee. It was so great because Kevin Nash, the great Kevin Nash, he was Diesel in the WWF.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, he's the NWO. He changed NWO. Wrestling.
Yeah.
He kind of took wrestling to its peak. It's like never been better and never been the same.
He's a good back dude, in the too.
Late 90s. Smart guy.
Yeah.
Lost his kid like out of nowhere. It's like horrible. Son. A year ago. He was like, gosh, of course, we have to give Nash's whole backstory. Now I forget what we were even talking about. Jack Kirby's kids complaining, saying Stan Lee's only telling his side of the story. We didn't hear my dad's side. Kevin Nash was like, then tell your side of the story. It's like, don't get mad at Stan Lee because he was the one telling the story.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
History was written by the one telling the fucking story.
Right. Tell your side then. Step up to the plate and like make something. Tell your side.
That's what I kept
thinking. Great point,
thinking.
Dude.
I was like, people debating this Jack Kirby, Stan Lee thing. I'm like, but Stan made himself necessary to be part of it. He was like the mascot of Marvel. Even if you didn't read comic books, you knew him.
Yeah. Right. That's such a great point. Yeah. Such a good point. Good defense of that. It's like, tell your side of the story, man.
Yo, by the way, I loved the baseball card roulette. But I wanted to ask you kind of maybe like a little behind the scenes question, and I'm sure there is no reason, but was it just spur of the moment, Saberhagen, and you just like stuck with it? I was like, I know he knows he's saying it wrong.
Saberhagen?
Saberhagen.
Saberhagen, yeah.
You're like Saberhagen.
Did I say Saberhagen? Oh, yeah.
I think,
by the way, he's like kind of a funny dude.
He's nuts. He's insane.
Yeah. I think I just said it wrong and I just roll with it. There might have been a few beers involved when I did that. I went to the mall for the first time in like 20 years with the wife. And I was like, can I have a hat? There was like lids. I was like, can I have a hat? She's like, I'll buy you a hat. And I'm like, I want an A's hat. It was like being 10 again. I can't tell you the last time I've been in a mall. And so I was like, I want to like put this hat, me like doing something in YouTube. So I did the baseball card roulette. And I think when I did it, I was a couple beers in. But yeah, I did say that wrong. I saw that in hindsight. Saberhagen.
I mean, you were like believing it so well that maybe you did just, you were just like,
I don't even remember,
stuck, and you like couldn't hear. You know how you like black out when you do these things partially?
Yeah, well, I think I did three of them in a row, and I changed my shirt each time and my hat so it looked like it was different days. And then so it looks like I think two posts like in a week from now, in 2 weeks. So it looks like I'm doing these, but I was just bored. I did it yesterday. I think I was just bored. Yeah, I was kind of blacked out. I think it was like a day drinking day because yesterday was kind of a blur.
The Phillies.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, the Orioles, it was all
hat.
Filmed within 20 minutes.
And then the A's hat.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Same camera angle, same lighting.
Oh, we have one coming up.
I
John
do have
Kruk,
a, and
Danny
I did
Heaton,
get a
Willie Wilson.
I did get a new hat. I ordered. I'm on a hat kick lately, and
I just got like my go-to like dad hat. It's like so plain. It's just like the coordinates of Hawks K. One of the keys.
That's so cool.
Isn't it cool? It's just like the longitude, latitude, north, south.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a nice looking hat. See, I can't rock hats like you. I did buy this though. This is a forbidden one.
You can. It's the hat. It's the.
I got the Wahoo. Some guy was selling them. He had a stockpile of like original unused, they're not fitted.
I don't even have that one.
But he sold them. It's on eBay. He has like 22 left. He sold like 16 yesterday. I just happened to stumble upon it, and I did buy one. But he was selling them for like $18 plus shipping or something. It was like
what
some store in Ohio or something that was selling them. What's that?
What are they called? Oh, the Guardians. The Galaxy.
The Guardian.
I like them.
Yeah.
It's like just make the logo cool and name them after an animal. It's like you don't, and don't name it after a silly bird. Like, don't name it a pelican. It's a dopey, clunky, oafy right. looking bird, even though they are nasty if they want to be.
Yeah, but it's like the pelican. It's even like nobody with an eagle or a falcon. Something with talons that could like hurt you.
Yeah, right. Name there's so many cool, weird, like the golden eagle. You know, like there's so many variations of birds of prey that you can find, like that the minor league teams use.
Right,
or the,
right.
Or the obscure colleges.
Like the Fighting Falcons or like the Red Hawks. Like switch it up a little bit.
The
Saberhagen. Tonight's show is sponsored by Brett Saberhagen.
Saberhagen's been Hagen. What else about Flash? I loved, again, the kitchen, the whole scene where he explains time, how it's not, you know, like you, the butterfly effect that you made is like a zillion butterflies, you know,
yes.
so many things are going to be wrong. Because remember, he was like, the Batman I knew was not as old as you.
So right. how come
you're older like that? And then I was like, oh.
That was such a good scene. And the spaghetti noodles, and he's just like, here's the linear frame. Here, time doesn't mean anything. And you're like, you're so fucking cool, Michael Keaton. That's so awesome. You're making a scene about spaghetti, like, amazing.
He made it work.
And I loved it.
It wasn't like an exposition dump, because it was, like, blanketed in, like, respect of, like, oh, wow, they even, like, either remade or went back to the old set. The exact kitchen where Alfred is like making fun of him, and there's Master Wayne sitting covered in mud.
It's just so good, that whole scene. And they did such a great job of the dilapidated mansion. Like, it still looks like the 90s one, but without Alfred, like, that's what it would look like. He's not vacuuming, he's not dusting and cleaning, he's day by day. And the ending. The George Clooney appearance too. My wife didn't like get the reference. She's like, I never saw it. And I was like, oh, he was in Batman and Robin. And I was like, oh, I didn't see that one coming at all, man. When he came out, I knew they were going to do something. I actually thought that it would be Michael Keaton coming back out. But then you see George Clooney and you're like,
George
no
Clooney
way.
As Bruce Wayne with a beard. Right. It's like, well, Batman would probably need to shave that beard, or your secret identity is going to be a little more obvious. And he's and yeah, I love how
that's
Barry's like, you're Batman? And he goes, no. And just walks away. God, Clooney's the greatest. Like, he even talks shit on that movie.
Oh, like constantly. Yeah, so many interviews. He's like especially early in his career, he's like, well, I did Batman and Robin, I'll do anything, obviously. By the way, those Mercedes that Bruce Wayne's driving, both Ben Affleck and George Clooney, are those real cars or those
I was
movie
like,
cars?
There's one of them. I'm pretty sure they're like that
they're
car
prototypes.
That Travolta has in like Swordfish. There's like one of them in the world.
Okay, because I'm like, there's no way these are like on the market. I would have seen them in L.A. and you would have seen them in Florida. Like,
sure.
I was like, they can't exist. They have to be like prototypes or what you said, like one person owns one because they're sick.
Yeah, like Leno has
right.
already for Seinfeld.
Hey, it's me, Leno. Yeah.
You know, I listened to Leno on Blocks on Neil Brennan's podcast, and I was like, man, the media can really just make everything seem different. And there is...
What do you mean?
There's so much more, like, less dickheadedness when you break it down, because Neil's first guest was Letterman on that podcast on Blocks, like, you know, a couple months ago when he started it, and Leno, and they both told the same story. They were like, we didn't hate each other like the media made it out to be. Like, they didn't want to move Dave. They didn't want to move Dave because he crushed in the spot after Carson. So why would they move him if he was already killing?
Right.
Leno like would fill in so much, and he did well filling in. And it wasn't like Leno did anything wrong. It's like people complaining Mexicans taking your jobs. It's like he just is better.
Right.
His ratings are better.
Right.
Leno crushed. And he was on NBC. It was better cameras.
And it worked out fine for both of those guys, like, in the end. I also felt like Leno gets a bad rap with, like, one thing, he's one of those guys that's always on, and sometimes it's misconstrued as, like, he's he's like a shark and he's out to get you. It's like, no, he just has a lot of energy. And I thought it was unfair, the whole Conan debacle. Like, yes, that sucked that Conan got the gig and then Leno came back because he went out of retirement. But that also wasn't any of their choices. It was like the network. Of course, right. You're going to go with a guy that's been doing it for 20 years, that's killing in the ratings. And
right.
Conan's like going to be fine. And like,
right, I'm with Coco. I was like, well, yeah, I love Conan O'Brien, but Leno gets better ratings. Conan's tanking on The Tonight Show. Like, it's just like business now.
Right.
Sorry. I get it. I like Letterman's the greatest. I think like what he did, it was like,
yeah,
it was almost like with Letterman, it was like he and you were on the verge of an inside joke that you're trying to keep from the audience. Like his just, I don't know what it was about him. He just was so different. And
yeah,
I remember
he had like a Norm Macdonald feel to him a little bit where there's like, he's doing that joke and
you laugh so hard that you're almost like, I don't want to be laughing this hard. Like,
right.
You need to take a break from laughing this hard so much.
It's so good. And just consistent too. You know, that's why I love watching Letterman now doing his show on Netflix. And also when he did like the U2 documentary, he does like the long form interview now. Like he just doesn't care. And he just, you can just see how smart he is. And he's always like on. It's just so funny. He's not following any kind of format. He's just, he can do what he wants now. And it's like so rewarding.
You can see he was like trapped in that little like, you know, talk show bubble where he didn't really learn anything about anyone, but he knows all these amazing people in it. And he's like, I would like to actually get to know them now.
So he's good point. All
the long interviews.
Yeah. I'm going to ask like the questions I want to, like what Howard Stern does now, you know, he does like the long form,
what he
gets to know you
since
it's perfect.
And serious. Robert Downey Jr. kind of doing that too. He's like, I lived kind of like in my own head for like the majority of my career. And it's like, I can't wait to see him in Oppenheimer. But I watched this,
so good.
This interview with him and Cillian Murphy, who's about to like explode.
Yeah. He's the leading man all the way, dude.
And RDJ, he's going to play Dr. Doom, I guarantee. RDJ is just kissing his ass. He's just like, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Cillian Murphy are being interviewed. And Robert Downey Jr. is just like praising Cillian Murphy. And he's like, he was almost intimidating in the beginning because he's just so in this character.
Yeah.
And
it's
insane to hear Robert Downey Jr. talk that way.
Yeah. It'll be like kissing his ass and
he's like one of the
greatest,
like, you know, he's like one of the most seasoned actors ever.
Yeah. There was an interview this week that Matt Damon was giving, and he was talking about how when they were filming Oppenheimer, I forget which magazine it was or site or whatever, but they said, like, I heard, you know, Cillian Murphy didn't like eat with you guys during filming. And he's like, well, of course he didn't. He was the leading man, and that he was so like immersed in that role and so intense because it's his first. I mean, he's been in a million movies, he's a great actor, but this is his first leading role in a movie of this scale with this much hype, that he was just so immersed in it he like couldn't eat because he was just so like had the weight of his world on his shoulders. And
to
hear Matt Damon say that, you're like, wow,
he does get so thin. And he's like, he's like, someone said this person's the most important human being to have ever existed.
And, I mean, if you think about
it's like
the end of the world and what that could have done, because I don't know. It's that bomb could have just kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and have like destroyed Earth. You didn't know what splitting atoms did at the time with hydrogen. Like and I don't know either. I've never paid attention in Halber's class, but I can tell you, like, it was very scary.
I was just going to say, how is that not more common knowledge that, like, there was a chain reaction effect possibility that the hydrogen bomb could, like, light our atmosphere and vacuum the oxygen off of Earth?
Yeah, forever.
For days or for long enough to kill us all.
Yeah, it's wild. All I know is I don't know, man. I don't know what to expect from that movie. I've only seen the trailers and read a little bit. I'm keeping an open mind with that. I'm really,
Nolan really set himself up if this does not do well, because you know, if it bombs, the puns are just going to be raining. The puns are just going to be so obnoxious.
And oh, you should be fired for
using a bomb pun.
You know, oh, it's yeah, all the hacks are going to be using that. I first saw the trailer for that on the Jonathan Hassinger show. You covered it like way back in like March or something. And I haven't seen a trailer since until like the last 2 weeks. They're lighting up now. And you're like, okay. Which is kind of smart. Let me ask you this. Not to change the subject. Well, on the subject.
Insane. The weekend of this movie, the three movies that come out, it's just insane. The three biggest movies possibly of the year.
And Haunted Mansion, which I know is a different kind of movie, is coming out, which is, oh man, the wife
Most
and I
expensive
are so
Disney movie
that.
Made. What's it that? Looks funny. Owen Wilson's in it. It'll be Danny DeVito. It'll be fun.
I'm still in the Wedding Crashers Owen Wilson mindset. Dude, I still think he's like great. I love him.
He's great in Loki. He's amazing in Loki. He's in Deadpool 3 also.
Hey, there you go. See? Oh, Owen
Morbius.
Wilson.
Mobius.
Let me ask you this question. I was talking to my friend Matt Lewis. He's a comedian. He's one of those guys we don't hang out and talk a lot, but we'll text each other random. He'll send me like a funny meme, like a dad meme joke, and then this and that. And it's one of those relationships that we're like, it's all about just surface fun stuff, and I love it. But we did
it's like me and Tony Martin.
Oh, is that how? Yeah,
we Tony just talk Martin. About TV shows.
Yeah, movies. It's just like
now
fun
he's a dad. Start talking about that stuff, I guess.
Yeah, Tony Martin, the most interesting man in the world. But Matt Lewis brought up this good point, and I happen to agree with him as an ADHD man. So let me ask you. He said, okay, so I'm seeing trailers for, you just covered this, the DiCaprio and...
Killers of the Flower Penis.
Killers of the Flower Moon. He goes, I just saw a trailer for Killers of the Flower Moon. Looks awesome, looks great, can't wait to see it. But it comes out in October. Not going to be interested then because that's 3 months from now, and I'm going to forget it. And I'm not going to be excited. Now I disagree with that. I'll see a movie if I want to see it.
People's concept of time is so silly.
Right.
It's like, oh, all of a sudden you won't want to see a Scorsese movie. That's so weird.
I will never want to do that. I mean, yeah, I'll see a movie regardless. My question is, do you think? Because you dropped a memory with this when I rewatched one of your videos. Back in May, and you were like, it was a Netflix thing. You're like, and it comes out today, May 27th. Good job,
that was
Netflix.
Funny.
Do you think the trailers serve a movie better? This ties in with the Flash marketing and everything. If they're released earlier or like right before, where today's audience like will grab onto it. Like, what do you think? How do you think that's?
Does that
make sense, or is that a dumb question?
No. It's one I've heard discussed a lot, and it's funny because. All it has to do with is the budget. It's like, how much do they have like in a pile that they're like going to use to like spam the crap out of YouTube and Twitter with their shit. So it's like, if they have a lot, which I'm Scorsese, I guess he has all of it. And I'm sure DiCaprio's money is involved. And Apple is making this, right? This is Apple.
It's Apple. Killers of the Flower Moon. It's Apple.
Right. And Apple has all the money. So I bet you they'll do that trailer and then they'll do a weird, crazy one in like August.
Yeah.
And then they'll do what the like superhero movies are doing where like they'll just be like, here's a 1 minute clip from the movie and it'll have like a title. It'll be like Hot Dog. And it'll be like a funny or like a weird or like a, ooh, what happens next?
Yeah.
And that's when it starts ruining it for me. I don't watch that stuff. I mute that on my feed because I'm like, this is the movie now. You're just showing me scenes. I don't want to see scenes of the movie. I want to just see like a teaser that I could misinterpret and go in and still be shocked at what it is.
Good call. You know? Yeah.
You know, it's
that's
just
a really
bunch
good
of,
answer.
It's like a bunch of music video students making these trailers. So it's not like they even know what the main theme is.
Right, because they've changed. It used to be the studio would like script the trailer. You'd pay the guy with the voice to say in a world, you know, and they followed the same format for like 50 years. And then it changed now. Right. And now it's up to and it's good now. It's better now. I don't think you need a narrator for the trailers that it.
Yeah, it became a.
It became like a joke.
It became like a parody of itself.
But I think for trailers, it's up to the producers to know what their product is and do it that way. If it is a Scorsese movie, you can market that for a year because people will see it. If it's like Barbie, you can do snippets for like a month and people will see it because it's Barbie. It's like, I don't know. It's a fine line.
I think it depends on like the director because it's like Scorsese, Wes Anderson, like these guys are, Christopher Nolan, they're just doing it with in the studios are like me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Then they're not saying shit. Like those directors are just doing everything that they want. They don't give the studio has no involvement. I think the ones that like are involved, because I think Christopher Nolan, at the end of making your own movie, do you then want to make like a 2-minute, like, you know, dude, like, you know how it is, like, yeah, to edit,
condense,
like, but it's like, but they still don't have to do it against any like time constraint. You know, like they pick the date that they release the movie. Some studio isn't like, you get January 21st. And if it's not out, then everyone's going to hate us like Chapek to Marvel.
Right. You gotta pick the date and
you have your own,
you have your timeline.
It's like we always say, you know, you can't put a deadline on art or part of it's not going to be what it could be. You're limiting.
Yeah.
It just happens when it happens.
Right.
I feel like Scorsese, Christopher Nolan, they oversee their trailers. I feel like they're involved with what goes out there, every single piece of it, no matter who's distributing it or producing it.
They have control.
Right. So that their movies won't get like ruined. So maybe one more Oppenheimer trailer that's way more dialogue focused because, Flower Moon, because there's been like 11 words, you know.
Right.
What color skin do you have? Get your house in order. And then it's just the drums that I just can't get enough of.
Right. Then there's like the car. Exactly. Yeah. More dialogue driven. It's interesting. It's going to be good, though. They should have given him like 8 hours to do that movie. You know, at this stage of his career, give him whatever.
I was like, this story, we're getting like a piece of it, and this movie's 4 hours. It's not long enough. This is like a 12-hour opus.
Right. And it kind of, it is. How many more movies is he going to do? I mean, I hope he does 100, but he's, 80-some years old? I mean, he's not, enjoy like every bit of it.
It's like, movie magic can't really hide Father Time. Father Time cannot be defeated.
Right. Father Time cannot be defeated.
Quick question, and then I guess we should wrap.
Yeah, we've been going strong.
Oh, have you watched Hijack?
No, I have not. Is that some homework I should be doing?
I'm going to go watch episode one. Heather's 3 episodes in. It's Idris, the great Idris Elba.
Yeah.
The great sexual I saw the still for penis.
It. Is it good? Or are you?
I haven't watched any. I'm going to go watch episode one. Heather's watched a couple. I've heard a lot of people talk about it, say that it's like the best show, the new best news show. There's 3 episodes.
Really? I have nothing to do now after the show is done. The wife is actually out of the house tonight. I will go watch Hijack and report back.
Nude.
Hijack.
Nude.
Quit playing with yourself. That's all I would do on it. When you say boat tomorrow, that's all I would do. I would not be invited to go in boats. I would just be using Jaws lines until I got scullied off or whatever they call it.
I just yell at Hannah. Hannah, I sailed. Did you see me? I sailed on the boat with the sail. I sailed.
Well, that'll be our show tonight. Always good to see you, brother.
Great show, man. There's never enough time.
Never enough time.
Depending on how banged up, are you busy tomorrow night? Depending on how banged up I get on this boat, maybe we could squeeze in another one because I feel like we could do like a 2-parter for this Flash. There's so much to like revisit.
Yes. I am available all day and all weekend, anytime. So we should dive into some more Flash.
Pandemic, the lockdown is everlasting.
The forever flu.
Yeah, we're some conspiracy group. No, the lockdown's still happening. They haven't lifted it yet.
No, lockdown's still going on, guys.
Still gotta stay home. Still gotta stay home. Put your masks on. Damn. Put your masks on. You're ugly.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother.
Mr. Buster, where the fuck you at? Can't scrap a lick, so I know you got your gat, your dick on hard from fucking your road dogs, the hood you threw up with, niggas you grew up with. Don't even respect your ass, that's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga. Used to be my homie, used to be my ace. Now I wanna slap the taste out your mouth, make it bow down to the rope. Fucking me, now I'm fucking you, little hoe. Oh, don't think I forgot, let you slide. Let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'ma talk on. Stomping on the easiest streets that you can walk on. So strap on your Compton hat, your Lokes, and watch your back, cause you might get smoked, low. And pass the bud.